Blog Talk Radio.
True blessing to be alive. It is a true blessing to be before you. It is a true blessing just to see the sunshine and to see the the rain and to see the clouds and to see the blue skies. I mean, I'm just so blessed. Well, hello, hello, and hello. It is Sunday, August 11th, 2019. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 3. That's right, y'all. Season 3. Brought to you by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by my partner, my good brother, my friend, the good brother, Hakeem Nuba.
Hey, good evening, sir. How are you today?
Doctor, it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood, sir.
Yes, sir, it is.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well. I have my youngest boy with me, and we've been hanging out all weekend, and we're going to do a couple more days, and I'm blessed.
Amen. Amen. Blessings on his life, Doctor. Blessings on you as well, sir.
Thank you very much. To you as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. To my friends and my family, if you are in need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can tweet the HubNet Online Network. But the quickest way is to call the show. 646-787-1798. Again, that number is 646-787-1798. If you call and you want to just listen, you can just tune in and listen. But if you have a comment or a question, or you want to give a words of inspiration, whatever you want to do, you press the number 1 and you will be placed in queue, and at your appropriate time, you will be able to talk to Brother Hakeem and myself. Amen. I am excited, I am happy, and I am full of joy. It is my prayer that you are too. It is my job to release the captives, to teach God's word, and to stand on his promises, and to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. I tell you, I have to say this, that I am overjoyed, happy at what God has done in my life. I'm not going to say it all right now, but I just want you all to know that God has a plan for each and every one of us. All you have to do is be obedient. Be obedient to what God has called you to do. And I promise you, like the title of this episode says, you will be victorious. But you know, I always like to open up the show with a word of prayer. I am a firm believer that prayer changes things, amen. So let us go to the throne of grace together. Father God, we thank you for this day, for this appointed hour, Father. You know the needs of your people, Father. You know the desires of their hearts. You know the workings of their hands, the movement of their feet, Father. There's somebody out here, Father, with a broken heart. There's somebody out here, Father, that feels as if they're at the end of their rope. There's somebody right now, Father God, who just don't know which way to turn. And there's somebody out here, Father God, that has served you openly, Father, that have served you honestly, Father, that has served you, Father, in spirit and in truth. And right now, Father God, we stand before you needing a blessing. We stand before you, Father God, needing you to show up. We stand before you, Father God, anticipating your movement in our lives. We love you, Father. We know without you we are nothing. We can't have anything in this world without you. So, Father God, I ask that you would move. I ask that you would touch and anoint right now, Father. There's somebody expecting a healing on their lives. Touch right now, Father. Move in a special way. Your people, Father, are crying out to you. I ask right now, Father, that you would bless this network, Father. Bless our leader, Father, as she continues, Father, to search out and seek out, Father, new ways and new innovative ways, Father, to take this network higher, Father. I ask that you would bless her, Father, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Father. Bless, Father God, our lifeline, Brother Hakim, Father, who works diligently, Father, to make things profitable for this network, Father. Touch in a mighty way, Father, his life, his body, his children, his household, his finances, his clothes, whatever he has, Father, let it be fruitful unto you. Now, Father God, touch me, your most humble servant. Use me, Father, in a way that you've never used me before. Let this season of the Jubilee Affair be a blessing unto somebody's soul. Let somebody see the goodness in you, Father. Let souls be saved, minds changed, and paths made straight. We thank you. We honor you. And we love you. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as we were on our season break, I got an overabundance of questions thrown my way. Amen. And you all know that I always tell you, you can ask me questions, and whether they're biblical questions or whatever questions that you have that you want to know about the Bible or about the ministry or church, I am here to answer your questions. And so these are the first four of 20 questions that were thrown my way. Amen. And some of these questions are really amazing, but and it will make you think, but you know what? I have to answer them because I pride myself on being there to answer, to serve and to answer the people, and thus let us get started with this. The first question is, hey, Pastor D. Townsend, I have been going to church for a long time. I stepped away because I found some things at the church that I did not like. So my question to you is, why are church people so mean? Well, I can't say that all church people are mean. Some church people, well, let me say it like this. As the pastor of the church, sometimes the pastors are just a half a step ahead of their congregations as far as the salvation is concerned. That's sometimes. The other times, the congregations that are serving in the church, you will find that some of them have not even found their salvation through Jesus Christ. Some of them are seeking salvation, and thus they are there to have their souls cleansed, but they have not fully let go of the world. Thus, you find that the church is a hospital for sinners and a spiritual empowerment for believers. Those of us who have found our salvation become spiritually empowered by going to church. Those of us who are still seeking our salvation are there to be made spiritually well. So there are times that you will come across those whom you may look at and see and believe and or think that they are saved and or sanctified. However, the case may be that they're not, and thus they are showing you the actions of the world and not the actions of Christ. It happens more times than not. I have experienced it before I became in this ministry. Many times, even after being in this ministry, I've seen people who have been heads of boards and everything, and were not saved, and have confessed not to believe in certain parts of the Bible. However, church is still a place where one can be made well. And again, even for the saved and sanctified, we have to renew our covenant, because sometimes we fall out of God's graces due to sinful nature. So I hope that this doesn't deter you from going to church. You're going to meet people that's going to be very mean. You're going to meet some people that's very nice. But that should not stop you from going to church and being a part and being constructive in the church and helping to build the church and helping to seek out those who need help. It shouldn't stop you. If you allow that to stop you, then you have been defeated. Then the devil did exactly what he wanted to do and used somebody to do it, and thus you're missing out. So I urge you to get back in the church, fight the good fight, and stay on your knees. Amen. The second question is, Pastor D, I always hear you talk about testimonies. I would love to hear your testimony. Sure. And I'll make it as brief as I possibly can. Pastor D. Townsend was raised by a single mother. She raised two boys and one girl. Inner city Detroit. We didn't always have everything that we wanted, but we had everything that we needed. Throughout my life, I've seen many, many dangers and snares and toils thrown my family's way. I come from a family that don't really get most things that they deserve, but we continue to serve God anyhow. Thus, one day, as I was knee-deep in sin, the Lord called me to preach his word. I've always known that I was called by God. I was called by God at 4 years old. I felt God's spirit upon me at 4. And I always knew that God was always there with me. Thus, I did not want to do what God had called me to do. I've always had the same mind. I've always had the same intellect. And I always felt as if I was older than I was. Thus, I feel that I've been here a very long time. I feel like I've been here longer than I have been here. Amen. Thus, through this, being knee-deep in sin, God called me. God spared my life back in 2004. And thus, I've been running for God ever since. Can I say that I haven't stopped in my race of faith sometimes and look back? Absolutely. But I continue to run because I know that even in the midst of the sin that still tries to overtake my life, that God has a victory for me. Even though I know that at the end of the day that I have one foot on a banana peel and one foot in the grave and one hand extending out to Jesus and grabbing a hold to the hem of his garment, I still have the victory. So that's my testimony. I could have been a film director making big, big money. I had a film company that I had just started. And the Lord called me to ministry. And I left that film company right in the dust. I'd rather be a lowly preacher than to have all the money in this world. Because my God says that he owns all the hills and 1,000 cattle as far as the eye can see, all belongs to him. So if my Father has all of that, I am rich. And I don't have to worry about nothing. Amen. So that two and three are kind of together, because somebody asked me what were my plans for my life before the ministry. Well, I wanted to go into film directing, and I said I had just started a film company, and I secured a producer, and we were a year away from filming our first movie. And at the end of all of that, I just let it go, because none of that meant nothing to me. I only cared about what God would have me to do. Maybe one day I'll be able to go back to that and explore that life of film directing. Maybe I will, but maybe I won't. Even if I'm not able to, I am still happy with where I am right now. I am still happy with what I'm doing right now. So God has opened up so many doors for me, and so long as he continues to open up the doors for me, I am happy. The fourth question that somebody asked, they said, hey, Pastor D, man, I've been going through it. It seems like no matter what goes on in my life, no matter where I go, I'm always met with darkness from this world. So my question to you is, who rules this world? My good friend, let me tell you this, that Jesus rules this world. Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. When his precious blood was spilled, he took reign over everything. He took reign over hell. He took reign over earth, and he resides in heaven as our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. It seems as if the enemy rules this earth, but let me assure you that it's all about Christ. Christ rules this world. But see, God is a gentleman. God is a gentleman. God is not going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do. God gives us all free will. So if you desire not to serve him, if you desire not to serve God, but you want to do your own way and do your own thing, then by all means, he's not going to force you to serve him. But what will happen is you will always hear the little nagging voice in the back of your head calling out to you. No matter what you do in this world, you will hear the voice of God calling out to you. God loves his creation. God loves the sinner. He just don't like the sin. God loves everything that he created. So, at the end of the day, you have to know that. There are a lot of people out here who don't care about serving God. And that's okay. If that's the life that you want to, But at the end of the day, understand that whatever life you live and whatever you do in this life, when it's time to meet the Maker, that's the life that you will be judged on. Amen. So Jesus rules this world. Amen. I will keep the questions coming as we keep doing our episodes. Amen. But I want to start with those four right there. Amen. Because I have a testimony that I have to share. And this testimony is simply just entitled, "With God on My Mind." When God is on your mind, nothing in this world can affect you. I urge you all to listen to the voice of God, to be spiritually minded, spiritually open, and to let God use you in a way that He's never used you before. To the pastor that's wondering why his church is not growing, to the pastors that has worked diligently, to the pastors who are at the end of their rope, keep God on your mind. You see, this world, we are in a pro-Christian society that does not desire to be in the church. The church used to be a royal priesthood that stood with a beacon of light, but now that light is a nuisance because people would rather be in the darkness. If your churches are not filled up, if you've been working diligently, if you are at the end of your rope, keep God on your mind. To the lay people who have served the church tirelessly and never seen an increase in membership, and you have never been rewarded for your due diligence, and you have never received a thank you, and you have never been told you are appreciated, keep God on your mind, and you will see what He will do for you. I urge you to let God be your saving grace. And to the young people, and you found yourself teetering with your faith, the world is trying to pull you to the left. You got your family members and other religious beliefs that's pulling you to the right, while God is trying to keep you centered in the middle. I urge you to keep God on your mind. Through Jesus Christ, we have been given access to God. Jesus died so that we may live. Hold on, young brother, young sister. Hold on, you seasoned saint. Hold on, you preacher, you teacher, you bearers of the word. Hold on, because the glory of God is on its way. That's a testimony for somebody today. Hold on. God has not brought you thus far to drop you off. And you have not seen what God is going to do in your life. It may not look like it right now, but trust and believe that He will make a way. He makes a way out of no way. Because that's the type of God that we serve. And I don't know about you, but He's been too good to me See, I could preach on that. I could go right into a sermon on that, amen. But I got something else in store. But keep God at the center front of your mind. Your elevation is coming. Keep God at the front of your mind. And listen to the Spirit and not what you think you ought to do. There are times that the Spirit will speak to you, but because of what you feel is not right, you will go along with what you think. Listen to the Spirit at all times, and I promise you, you will come out shining like pure gold. It's coming. But keep God on your mind. Let the Spirit lead you, guide you. Let the Spirit mold you to be in what He would have you to be. And watch what He'll do for you. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal Father, it's me, your most humble servant. Lord, I decrease so that you may increase. More of you, less of me. And I thank you. I honor you. And I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I chose this scripture out of Romans. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. And it reads, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" I want to stop right there. For my subject today, you are victorious. The Bible speaks about many things: life, death, riches, gold, wealth, faith, the lack of faith, the proud man, the proud woman. But it also speaks about the victory. The victory that we have if we allow the right forces in our lives. Paul, the Gentile apostle, was one who dealt with the gift of long suffering. Brother Paul, I know that gift all too well. Brother Paul was one who at first hurled insults at the church of Nazareth, the church that was founded off of the back of Jesus the Christ. And he found himself one day on a Damascus road seeking out those whom he could write their death warrants and send them off to the death camp to be killed. And he found the glory of God on that Damascus road. While being on this road, Christ showed himself to Paul and urged Paul to change his ways, and he knew that through this man, through the zeal that he had for the Mosaic law, through the zeal that he had, that if Christ could turn an enemy into a foe, that he could use that same zeal that Paul had for the Mosaic law, that same zeal that he would use for the blood covenant. He let it be known that there is a work that he needed Paul to do, and for Paul to get himself ready for this work, amen, to be baptized and to live a new life. And through this work, Paul brought many people to Christ, amen. And at the end of the day, Paul did a mighty work. We find here in Romans that Paul was writing to the Rome and the Christians and the citizens of Rome and he urged them to turn from their wicked ways and to turn to Christ and to turn over a new leaf and to try to live a life that will be pleasing unto God. But Paul also knew that even in the midst of all of this, that there would be those who would sit there and try to ruin what Christ was doing. Thus, Paul reminded them that if you turn to God, that if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that if you turn from your wicked ways, that at that moment, regardless to what the enemy tries to throw at you, regardless to what the enemy tries to do to you, regardless to what the enemy tries to say to you, regardless to what is thrown in your face, that you, my friend, have the victory. He said that if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, I know that God is the greatest gift of this world. And if my God be for me, then nobody in this world can be against me. For greater is he that is in me than he that is of this world. And because my God lives in me, oh, come on, somebody. Because my God lives in me, I'm victorious. You see, what I love about God is that he will make you spiritually victorious, but he also will give you a physical. He will open up doors, amen. You see, mankind will shut the door dead in your face and will tell you that you are not good enough, will tell you that you can't do it, will tell you no, but God will come right behind them and unlock that door for you. And sometimes even if the door doesn't lock, God says, look up, my son, look up, my daughter, because I just gave you an opening through the window. Ooh. You are victorious. You are a mighty man of God. You are a mighty woman of God. Whatever it is that you want in this life, you can obtain it because you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then, my friends, you have the victory. When Jesus was nailed to that cross, amen, when he was nailed to that cross and his blood ran down that cross and his blood is saturated this whole world, amen, and that veil was broken and we did not have to go to the priest anymore where we could go to God for ourselves, I'm here to let you know that victory is yours. Victory belongs to you. Because my Jesus has been too good to me. I'm going to proclaim the victory until the day that I die. If I have to do it all by myself, I'll claim the victory. Things may not be right in your life, but you claim the victory. It may be looking like you're defeated. My friend, please claim the victory. You see, sometimes in this life, sometimes God removes things from our lives because he know that if he don't remove them, that it may cause us to have a downfall. It may cause us to be broken and to be bitter
And the Spirit will come in and remove something, remove that dead weight from us, amen. And when it removes that dead weight from us, amen, then we can come out shining like pure gold, like new creatures in Christ, because we have the victory. You see, everybody in my life knows, everybody knows that I have been laboring and struggling in ministry for almost my whole time in ministry. I have done things for the church that probably nobody else would do or nobody else would even think of doing, amen, because I am a firm believer in being a true shepherd, amen. I will help anybody that's in need, amen. I have helped the church in Let me explain it to you what I'm saying. Because I have the victory, I want the church to have the victory. And because the church has the victory, then we all have the victory, amen. So the things that I have done have all come to a head while on our season break. The Lord saw fit through the Bishop Sylvester Williams. I was appointed over Fuse Memorial CME Church in the great city of River Rouge. I got the victory. I am victorious. Let me explain it to you. And shout out to Fuse, amen. But let me explain it to you. It's not fair. It's called favor. And if you want that favor, I urge you to turn from your wicked ways. I urge you to turn from your jealousy, your envy. Turn from that and let God have his way in your life. For Paul, let it be known. You see, many times that Paul wrote his letters, Paul was in the sewers, chained to the wall, up to his waist, in fecal matter. In other words, the stuff that we flush down the toilet, Paul, at many times of the day, was up to his waist in that stuff. But he urged the church to be ye comforted, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. The Lord has given you the victory. Paul told us that if God be for you, nothing in this world can be against you. I'm a living witness as to what God can do when you stay faithful, when you stay loyal, when you say, Lord, I am a living soldier for you. What God can do in your life. There's somebody here right now, and you have been struggling with that. I urge you to stay loyal, diligent, trust and believe in the Almighty God, and watch what he'll do in your life. To the wife that's losing all hope in her marriage, you have the victory. To the husband, oh my brother, oh my sister, who has helped so many, I promise you, my friend, you have the victory. Hold on. And if you feel like letting go. Take your other hand, if you're at the end of that rope. Please take your other hand. Hold on to that rope and tie a knot and balance yourself. Because the Lord is not through with you yet. You are victorious because the blood of Jesus deems it so. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That means that one day, even those who don't believe in him will have to confess that he is Lord. That means that those who have confessed that he is Lord will have the victory. The Bible speaks about, if you read the Bible, you'll see there are 65 books of struggle. But Revelation opens up and reveals to us the victory that we have through Jesus. And oh, my friends, what a Holy Ghost party it's going to be when we get there. Where he said that I've seen a number that I could not count of all nations, of all language, of all people together worshiping the Lamb, crying out to the Lamb. Oh, what a Holy Ghost victory is going to be. But I urge you right now, you have to hold your head up high and you have to stand up for Jesus and you have to say that I have the victory. Stand up. It's easy to wallow in your misery. It's easy to wallow in the pain. It's easy to say, woe is me. It's easy to say, why me? But why not you? Why not you? You are victorious. God is the greatest gift of all. He will not see you shut down. You have the victory through Jesus Christ. I am a living witness, firm believer. Hey, I go to the mountaintop by myself and yell it out. I empty myself out every day because I know that I have the victory. I run this old body down for the work of Christ because I have the victory. I have been deemed victorious. I urge you to hold on. Hold on. God has a blessing with your name on it. And he will give you the victory. As I close out, I always like to give you an opportunity to claim your rightful spot in the victory. If there's somebody here right now and you don't know who Jesus is, the door of the church is open. And I offer you Jesus right now. If you are saying, it's me, Pastor, it's me, then pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I ask that you would come into my heart. Lord, I believe that you lived, that you died, and that you rose again on the third day. Forgive me, Father, of my sins through thought, word, and deed. Create in me a clean heart and use me so that I may tell somebody else about your will, about your love. Accept me into your family. I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer and you sincerely meant it within your heart, then today is your day of victory. Happy birthday. Now I urge you to find a Bible-based church, to find a church that's teaching and preaching the Word of God, and become a part of a fruitful congregation and live a life worthy of being called a servant. God bless you, and may God keep you. Amen. Brother Hakim, my good brother.
Yes, sir.
Do we have anybody on the line that may want to give a word of to the give a message to us, sir?
Yes, we have Brother Darius who's been waiting. Let's get him on now.
Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Brother Davis. Brother Darius, God bless you, Doc.
Good evening, Pastor Townsend.
Good evening, sir.
Just want to say that listen to your message, and at my church, as of last week, previous, we got a new pastor of our own named Reverend Jerry Collier.
Amen.
He's the new pastor of my church at People's Community CME Church.
Amen. Amen.
And yesterday I took pictures of, we had our back to school activity. We gave out school bags, school supplies to all the kids, and we had a lot of kids there yesterday, and it was a success.
Amen. Amen, Doctor. That's a blessing. I pray nothing but success over your pastor, amen, and I pray success over your church, and I pray that the bishop and the presiding elders are all blessed, and that the members be blessed, and that everybody sees a turnaround, amen, at their churches, and that the finances be overflowed, that the membership be overflowed, that the children be overflowed, and that the love be overflowed. This is my prayer for your Episcopal district. This is my prayer for every church. And this is my prayer for every pew, for every member. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Darius. I always enjoy talking to you, Doc. Thank you for always supporting this this show, sir.
You are welcome.
Brother Darius, do we have anybody else on? Brother Hakim, excuse me, do we have anybody else on that may want to give a word?
We have quite a few people who are listening. Anyone who wants to get their word in, now is the time. Please press the number one. That'll let me know, and I can plug you right in.
Amen. Amen. This is your time to speak. Amen. This is your time to give a testimony, a word. Amen. The floor is yours.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I am just so excited, Doctor. This church that I was pointing over is such a blessing, Doctor. It's a blessing to my soul, sir. I tell you, the praise and worship alone is just so awesome, and I'm just so overjoyed and so humbled, Doctor.
Well, I am so happy for you, sir, and congratulations. I know I've said it privately, and I wanted to say it publicly. I am so happy for you, and it couldn't happen to a more faithful, powerful minister and a man of God. So I'm so happy for you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I don't take that lightly. That's coming from you, brother. I appreciate that. You know, you and I have had many conversations on air and off air, and I just appreciate you, sir, and everything that you do for this ministry.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen. Amen. All right, everybody, we're down to the last couple minutes of our show. Amen. If you have a word, please press the number one. If you just want to greet us, amen, and say God bless you, please press the number one. This is your time, amen. I set this time aside for you. Amen. All right, well, Brother Hakim, we are going to, since we're down to the last 5 minutes, we're going to let our song play us out, amen. And
yes, sir.
I am, again, grateful to you, the people. Continue to serve God and know that you have the victory. On behalf of Brother Darius and the good Brother Hakim and myself, Pastor D. Townsend, you have been listening to the Jubilee Affair. We are signing off. Good night and God bless.
with hope.